said it had an hour-long recording, but there were 0 bytes. So, didn't quite work. So anyway, maybe today he'll get that. So anyway, yeah, you know, look on the wiki. There's that that write-up there, and there's also 3 other things that are useful. The one you might want to look at next is this Craftsmanship handout, which is a very pretty long handout, okay? And did I actually click on that or not? Yeah, I guess I did. So this talks about things you can do in graphical presentations. You know, you're going to be making a lot of graphical presentations to people, and graphs are an absolutely wonderful way of getting information across. You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, as the saying says, and the graph is a way of taking, you know, 1,000 points and putting it into a picture. And so there's things about, like, scale. You know, you can look at, this is poor, this is better. You know, because notice this is 50 down here, right? If you don't carefully read that y-axis scale on that thing, you'll think that's pretty close to zero. And people actually do stuff like this in an effort to sell things, okay? To actually deceive people. I mean, people do that. But this is poor. This is better. Notice zero is here. It would have been better if he'd had graphed the same data, you know, and it went like this, right? But so there's a lot of things in this that will make it better. Here's another example. You know, notice how, you know, if you graph from 0 to 1500, notice you can put little breaks in here or whatever if you need to. But when you zoom in like this, it looks like this data fits very poorly. And really, it's not so bad, right? At least if you look at this, it doesn't look too bad. They like you to label the plots like this, if possible. Another thing is when you have a line like this, generally when you put in a line, it tells you that that whole line has meaning, okay? That means there was a point along there, everywhere along that line. Well, that means probably it had to be some kind of a theoretical thing, right? In other words, if you have a bunch of data like this and you connect dot to dot, like it kind of looks like they did here, that's actually not good unless there's some theoretical reason there should be something exactly like that, okay? In general, what you want to do is put your data with point symbols like this, and then a theoretical curve would be a line, and it probably won't go exactly through your point symbols. Does that make sense? The line has validity everywhere. The points were the places you actually measured it, and you really don't know what happened in between, right? And that's a way to communicate that information. So, here's another thing. Like, when do you use a logarithmic axis, you know? Right here, notice this. It looks like sales have really slowed down, right? But that's logarithmic. In reality, it's going like this, right? So, you know, if you want to say, well, are sales doubling every day? Well, this is what you want to do. You know, sales are more than doubling every day, right? But are, you know, so anyway, you kind of get the picture there. You can make misleading graphs. And there's a lot of different stuff in this handout. You know, I won't go over it all, but so there's things. One thing that people often do in their lab report is when you make a graph, sometimes that graph is a whole page, right? It's 8.5 by 11, and your lab report usually, you know, is in portrait mode, not landscape mode. And so how do you put that graph in there, well, sometimes people put it in this way and sometimes they put it in that way. But if you look in a book, you know, nowadays books are not quite as, they don't do that quite as much. In fact, almost every picture in a book, figure in a book now is the same orientation as the page. It's just smaller or something. But in older books, if you look at it, what they do is they put the top of the graph toward the spine, okay? The top goes toward the spine. So that's a mistake that people make often. I remember making that mistake myself. There's like 17 pages of this, you know. You want to go look at that probably. Here's something that my grader, a number of years ago, he made, he got tired. He had all these labs to grade. He got tired of writing the same notes felt like a little mechanical monkey writing the same thing on everybody's lab report. So he started writing, making a code for this. And here are, nine things that he'd just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever one you made, right? And so it's well worth looking at this because you might have made some of those, right? So, one thing that's important to do is to actually, read through your lab report, proofread it. And then, of course, I have this deal where if you'll come in before the lab is due and bring it by my office or wherever you find me, I'll be glad to look at it and give you, an oral once over what I would do when I was grading it. Here's what you could do to fix this up, make that better, or whatever, right? But you want to do that, when you still have time to fix it up, because, if you bring it in the day that it's due, it might not leave you enough time to fix much, right? So, there's all that stuff. And I don't know, there might have been one more thing on there. There's that fast functional writing. You can look at that too. It's kind of this idea, trying to get across the maximum information, the minimum time, and you want a high signal to noise ratio. The most important stuff there, and not a whole bunch of other stuff that's unimportant. Okay. I mean, your notes are in your laboratory notebook. You don't need to put those in the lab write-up, unless what you came up with was important. Like, for example, yesterday you derived some equations for those two circuits, right? You got the gain of each one and so on. And so what I would probably do is say, well, look, if I was looking on, the way you guys do nowadays, look on, Wikipedia, what would I want to find? Here's the answer. The formula for the gain is this. We found it handy if we fit these resistors equal to each other. We ended up with experimental results that were in, rough agreement with our, our calculations. And, whatever those things that would have been just nice if you just known, right off the top, you wouldn't have had to derive that. But you don't need to put the derivation in there. If you do, you could, maybe some of them, you put it on the second page or something, but it depends on how important that is. If there's something important in the derivation, some method or other thing that would be helpful for you later, or for me, or whoever you're writing this for, then that's good. But you want to make your signal-to-noise ratio high. Okay, so any questions on the lab write-up? Yeah. Yeah, there was in the short report format right here, there was a lab write-up on the second one there. And, if you want to stop by my office, I probably still have my labs from 30 years ago. You want to look at those if you want. I mean, we used to have to do this format all the time. Okay, so we should do some example problems because you guys haven't done very much with op-amps yet, so let's just do some example problems and maybe this will help you feel more comfortable, you know, doing circuit analysis. You got to do the analysis before you can do the design. You kind of remember that, right? So, let's see. Someone was saying we should do one with a CMRR. So let me do a... I'm going to make a kind of a funny differential amplifier here. Yeah, it's not really funny. It's kind of a subset of kind of what you had. I'm going to call this V1, V2, R1, R2, and this will be V out. Okay? So here's the ground is down here. This is like V2 here. Right? Put a ground here. What I mean, that's V1. You understand that? Okay. So, well, I want to find the CMRR. Okay? So I have to find the CMRR. Okay, so what we want to do is, first of all, we want to find... V out, which is going to be equal to an A1 V1 plus an A2 V2. The reason I know it's going to be this way is because this is a linear circuit. Linearity tells me that superposition implies. That means there's a part due to V1 and a part due to V2, right? Linearity also tells me that proportionality, is a thing here. So if I like turn V1 off, if I double V2, it should double V out, right? That's proportionality. Linearity is a combination of proportionality and superposition. So I know, this is what's going to come out. In other words, the output is a linear combination of the input. And if you were taking a linear algebra, really, this is a thing like this. A1, A2, V1, V2. Okay? Got it? So it's linear. This is linear. Your linear algebra class was important. So what I need to do is find that. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And then the next thing I'm going to have to do is I'm going to need to write that V out is equal to A differential times V, well, in our case, it's going to be V2 minus V1 because the V2 is going in the plus thing, right? And then we're going to have plus A common mode. And the common mode voltage is V1 plus V2 over 2. So I need to find the AD and the ACM, and then all I do is take CMRR is equal to AD over ACM, or if you want in dB, you can put 20 log of that. Okay? So that's the battle plan, okay? And sometimes it's nice to sit down and try and figure out what your basic plan is, right? And that would be the same battle plan no matter what the circuit was. If it was a linear circuit and I had two inputs and one output and the thing was to find the CMRR, this would be the battle plan, okay? So let's just do it. So now you remember those three rules, three op-amp rules. Let's remind ourselves what they were. The first one was that no current flows into these terminals right here, these inputs. Okay, the second one was that what was it? Yeah, the feedback, if there's negative feedback, the voltage here and the voltage there are the same, right? And the third one was the hint that said write node equations at the inputs. Well, this one right here is kind of boring, right? There's nothing much to write there. So I'm going to leave that one off, but I'm going to do this one up here. And what is the voltage right here at that intersection, at this junction right there? What is the voltage there? V2. Okay, so V2. And so in some ways, maybe it's a little bit, it seems a little bit... maybe I'm skipping steps or something, but I'm just going to write that as V2. So writing the node equation, do you guys like summing the currents in or out? I mean, last day I was doing in, but maybe we should go out. I don't know what you guys like. What's most important? Currents in equals currents out? Yeah. So half and half, huh? Okay, well, suppose the current's coming this way, then it's going to go that way, huh? Okay. Is that what you want to do? I mean, is that really? Okay, well, fine, okay. So... You know, I'm going to say V1, and, you know, it seems a little backwards from the way I usually do it. V1 minus V2 over R1, so that's the current right here, right? That's got to equal the current right there, right? So that equals V2 minus Vout over R2, okay? So this thing, when I rearrange it, has got to be that thing right there, right? Okay, so if I do this, algebra gives me Vout equals, so I'm going to have an R2 multiplied, because there's only one Vout here, it's going to be R2 times a bunch of stuff. Basically, I'm going to have, what was this one? This was an R1. Okay, so I'm going to have, on the other side, I've got V1 over R1, right? And then I've got minus V2 over R2 plus, no, V2, minus V, V1 over R1, right?
V2 over R1,
and then minus V2 over R2, right? Did I do that right? Man, I'm probably doing too many steps at once.
R2 should be negative, otherwise it
would be switch.
Sign.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to say Vout equals, so it's going to be minus R2 over R1 times V1, right? And then I've got this thing over here. I'm going to have plus 1 over, no, R2 over R1 plus 1, is that right? Times V2. Okay. Okay, so this must be, this guy right here is the A1, and this dude is the A2, right? Okay, so now I've got to solve for A differential in terms of A common mode, right? So if I take and write, you know, V out equals, I've got this guy and that guy. So it's going to be in front of, I've got V1 first. So I've got to get the things in front of V1. I've got A minus AD, right, from there, minus AD in front of V1, plus ACM over 2. And that goes in front of V1. Now the thing in front of V2 is AD plus ACM over 2. So I've got AD plus ACM over 2, and that's in front of V2, right? So now what do? Yeah, the coefficient here has to equal the coefficient here, right? So we have two equations, two unknowns. So basically, this says A1 equals minus AD plus ACM over 2, and I have A2 equals, what is this? It's going to be plus AD plus ACM over 2. This is just a, you know, basically a linear algebra equation, right? You could solve this with matrices if you like. I'm just going to kind of, what I'm going to do, I guess, is I'm going to add the 2 to get ACM, okay, and subtract them or something to get AD. So if I add the 2, I get A1 plus A2 is equal to ACM. Is that all right? Well, that was easy. I just solved for ACM, right? Okay, now, if I take the bottom one and subtract the top one, I'll have A2 minus A1 is equal to 2 AD. And so that implies AD equals, did I do that right?
No.
I'm taking the bottom minus the top, so A2 minus A1 equals AD minus a minus AD, that's 2 AD, and these guys cancel. I'm glad you guys are actually paying attention and watching my algebra, because it's not very perfect. And I've discovered, you know, lately, students have the feeling about me that they have about Wolfram Alpha, right? It's just phony, you know, he'll let him go do the algebra, it'll come up with some answer here, and we'll just take it, right? Well, you got to realize I'm not Wolfram Alpha, and if you just take it, you probably just bit out a chunk of something you didn't want to taste, okay? So anyway, I'm glad that Austin is thinking here, so this is really good. And the rest of you do that too, please. So this is A2 minus A1 over 2, is that right? Okay, so now the CMRR is equal to AD over ACM, which is equal to A1 minus A2 over 2 divided by ACM, which was A1 plus A2. So what is this? This is like A1 minus A2 divided by 2 times A1 plus A2, is that right? I did. That should have been A2 minus A1, right? Thank you. And I did that over here too, right? Of course, I was just kind of following along. 2 and 1. There you go. Is there anything else that's wrong here? Okay, well, let's see what happens here. So, we just substitute in equals I want A2 minus A1. So A2 minus A1 is going to be 1 plus 2 R2 over R1. Is that right? The 1 plus 2 R2 over R1. That's the top. And I've got a 2 in the bottom. And then I've got to add these two dudes, right? And that's just going to be 1, isn't it? So there we have it. Now let's look at it and see if it makes sense. CMRR here. Now does that make sense? Yeah, so 1/2 plus, if you wanted to make it kind of like that nicer too. 1/2 plus R2 over R1, right? So, if you look at this, R2 over R1 would kind of be the differential of the gain of the inverting amplifier if you put V2 to 0 here, right? So as you make the gain bigger on this thing, it's going to make the CMRR worse. And as you make you're stuck with at least 1/2, right? Now you can kind of see why people put a resistor in here and a resistor right there, right? Because then that made it so that what this side sees is similar to what that side sees. In fact, even if you think about resistors, okay, If I put an R1 here and an R2 like that, okay, and I look out of this terminal here and look at the resistance that I see to ground, I'll see R1 parallel R2, right, if I ground this one right here. And over here, if I ground the input and everything's grounded, that's going to be ground as well, right? So then I see an R2 in parallel with R1 as well. And so that symmetry then, of course, restores the nice differential, nature of that amplifier. Okay. But, this thing, this 1/2, shows you that, there's something definitely unsymmetrical about the thing the way it is. Right? Now, sometimes people actually use this amplifier because they'd like to shift their ground. Okay? You can shift your ground. For example, suppose you have, instead of two power supplies like you had upstairs, you had plus and minus 15 volts. If you wanted to make an amplifier that ran on, say, 0 and 5 volts, right? And you've got a little issue going on because that means the thing you're going to amplify has to be between 0 and 5 volts, right? So what you could do is you could take and put a 2.5 volt source right here, which could be, you know, going 5 volts, 10K, 10K to ground. In other words, the voltage divider, right? That would give you 2.5 volts here and would set this voltage at 2.5 volts DC, right? That would be your new central place, your new kind of quasi-ground. And then you have to, you know, look at whatever kind of signals you're coming in and in some way make it so that, you know, they're now centered around that 2.5 volts. Like, for example, you might put a coupling capacitor, you know, on a capacitor like right in here that would only allow the AC through, assuming, you know, that you don't care about the DC. I'm assuming you don't care about the DC because you kind of limited yourself to being between 0 and 5, right? So then you might put a coupling capacitor in here, which would only allow the AC in, and then it would be kind of bouncing around by around 2.5 volts. And so people do that when they only have one power supply. And so that was one example. So how are you feeling about op-amps now? Are they looking easy, or do you want another example? Should we do another one? Another example would be good. Okay, well, let's do another example. Let's look at something a little bit more interesting than what we've been looking at. You know, we've been doing the stuff with all resistors. Let's do something with maybe a capacitor in it. Okay. So here we have a gadget like this, right? This is actually a very, very handy gadget. In fact, back in the old days when they used to do make analog electronic controls, they would use these things all the time. I mean, this was almost like their basic building block of the controller. It was this circuit right here. Okay, so let's analyze it. Let's find B out here. Find B out as a function of B1. Okay? Make sense? So, what's the thing we're going to do? We're going to write a node equation, right? Where are we going to write the node equation? Okay, right here. Okay. And what is the node equation? You tell me what to write. All right. Now, everybody understand why that's a zero there? Yeah, the voltage across here has got to be zero if there's negative feedback. Okay? Now one of these days I'm gonna pull one on you and I'm gonna put one in that doesn't have negative feedback, okay? And then you're gonna have to think a little bit more. In fact, next week's lab is gonna be one of those kind of deals where you don't actually always use negative feedback. You may have part of your lab that uses negative feedback, but you might be doing some other stuff. Like, for example, what we'll do next week is, you know that little gray function generator you have?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to build your own? Well, so we'll build our own in lab next week, okay? Huh. I mean, you know, you're learning this stuff for some reason, right? I mean, you know, if you can't build your own equipment, the blacksmith has to be able to make his own tools, right? That way, you know, he can kind of start from scratch. That's what they used to do in the old days, you know. They would, you know, as long as they could find their iron ore, they would, you know, they'd start making charcoal and, you know, melt it down and build their own stuff. And pretty soon, you know, they had their own, you know, their own tools and they could do it. So anyway, Hillary gave me the first term. What's the next thing I write? What? CDIDT.
You can't convert this to
the
name. Oh, man.
These are all
CS. Yeah. Yes. What does 1 over S mean, guys?
E.
Well, is it V0? Is it over CS or is it over 1 over CS? Man, I tell you, we're in really deep trouble. See, something has happened to the way that things go. I still believe there are some things you should have memorized and know by heart, right? I mean, and at least from circuit analysis, the first one is Ohm's law, right? V equals RI. The next one's Kirchhoff's law, you know, two of them, right? And the next one is the same thing for Ohm's law for capacitors and inductors, right? And this is the one for capacitors that we can't remember, right?
Oh, CDBDT.
What? He gets an A for the day. CDBDT. So what? CDB what? DT. What do I write here? Tell me. I'm just your scribe. What? What do I equals? Equals?
Yeah.
Equals what? D.
It
would
be
VO
minus zero, but it's
VO.
Yeah,
I'll take it back. I won't put the minus zero if you want. DT?
Yeah.
Now, do you guys agree? I mean, you better argue about that. Make sure this is right. Okay, so we got to go back to Ohm's law for the capacitor, right? Here's the capacitor. I'll draw you the picture right here, right? There is a voltage across it, V, right? There's a current going this way, coming in, right? V equals, or I equals, I guess is what we want, I equals, right? I equals what? Is that the right direction? Well, I could put the current going up. Is it plus or minus? It's going down the waterfall. I got that. Okay. So you're going to say CdVdt?
Yeah.
Okay. CdVdt. So let's think if this makes sense here, right? If this current is positive here, right? Then that means that the charges are piling up on the top plate here, right? When charges pile up, they're plus charges, right? That's going to make this voltage what? Plus, right? You know, the plus, where the plus charges are, that's the positive part, right? Okay. So then this looks like, this is right. The voltage is going up as the more charge you put on there, right? Okay, so I believe that. Now, how does that apply over here? Hillary is convinced it needs a negative sign here. She keeps wanting me to put a negative sign there. Are you guys going to go with her or what?
Well, for there to be zero
current.
No, because
if the voltage goes up, it's going to push more current down away from it so that it's trying to escape the increasing positive charge.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is it's hard to push a current in there, right? And that's true, but the more you push, if you put a current on here and just keep putting more and more charges, the voltage just gets bigger and bigger, right? In other words, it takes more and more voltage to put more and more charge on there. In other words, if you want to make a constant current here, you have to have a voltage source that's constantly rising.
Mm-hmm. Right? So if you get a positive current, you have to have a positive increase in voltage.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
no negative
sign. So, okay, well, I you know, Austin says plus, okay? So, Hillary, it's your chance. Why do you say it's minus?
Because current in equals current out. And we're going this way in, and we're going this way out.
Okay. She said this way in has to equal that way, that right there, right? So what you're saying is, she's saying B is like this. This is V0 here, right? And you're saying, oh, you're backwards from that. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we all agree. Man alive, this is tough.
Sometimes I know what I mean.
Yes. You got to remember, this lady knows what she's doing. Don't ever underestimate her. She sometimes thinks she doesn't know what she's doing, but every time she comes to my office and she says, I don't think this is, I'm not really sure about this, it's always right. Yeah, so maybe you all should get a job grading circuits, okay? She needs to work less and you guys need to work more. Okay. So now we have this thing. Let's see if we can solve it for V out. Okay? Okay, so I'm just going to multiply by minus 1 over C, so I'll get dV out dt, okay, equals minus 1 over RC times V1. Did I do the algebra right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, everybody agrees. This is good. Now the next thing is to see whether you deserve a refund from Professor Thompson, okay? And so how do I get V out from that equation? Integrate, okay, so I'm going to integrate. So I'm going to integrate, right, I'll just do it down here. dV out dt. dt, right, equals, I'm just integrating, minus, I can bring the minus 1 over RC outside, right? I could put in some dummy variable, or, you know, put in t if you like, I don't know. Now, what do you want for limits? Or would you just want to integrate? What, you just want to integrate?
Yeah.
Just integrate? Okay, so I can do this one right here. This is going to be, what is this going to be? Maybe I'll get you to do it. V out of what?
Of t.
Of t, okay. Anything else?
Plus,
I better call it k. K1, okay. Okay, right? Equals, what's this thing? I got a minus 1 over RC. I can rewrite that. And what's this? It's just the same, right? We don't know what V1 is, so we're just going to have to leave it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, but what's that K? It might be. What are the limits over here? I mean, I'm going to integrate this guy. You give me a function, I'm going to have another K. And what's that K? I think what Austin is saying, well, maybe we should have just put in some limits on this thing. You think? Because he's talking about initial voltage. That would mean like t equals 0 or something, right? Okay, so we'll go 0 to t. Okay, and so I put 0 to t here, right? Now I better rewrite this thing. Now can you tell me how this changes the thing down here? I know it's got a 0 to t right here. What happens over here? Plus the initial voltage, huh? Like this? V out of 0? Is that what you're saying? What? Okay, well, now we got a question. Is it minus or plus? I mean, Carlos thinks it's minus, it sounds like. You think it's minus? Well, okay. I guess I can say you probably can't go back to Thompson and get a full refund because that looks okay, right? Okay. This is the fundamental theorem of calculus. I don't know. In the old days, he used to come in with fanfare of trumpets and all kinds of stuff, right?
He went out with fanfare of trumpets.
Yeah, he went out with fanfare of trumpets, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there we have it. Now, what is this useful for? Well, if you want a circuit that's going to integrate things, you have it, right?
Yeah.
You know? So suppose you started out with turned on the circuit. The initial charge in the capacitor was 0, so V out of 0 is 0, right? So That just gets rid of this term. V out of t is minus 1 over RC times the integral of the input voltage, right? Useful. It's a useful circuit. Now, let me just tell you what they used to do in the old days, okay? Before you had these things, these phones and all that stuff, your calculators, they used to do things with a thing called an analog computer. If you had a hairy differential equation to solve, it came from fluid mechanics or something, it would cost you millions of dollars to simulate this thing on in the real world to build the channels and all the stuff for the fluid flow. You would write the differential equations, and then you would make an op-amp circuit that modeled the differential equations, had the same solution as the differential equations. I mean, and you need, in order to do that, you need integrators, okay? And, you know, when you take feedback and control, you know, if whoever's teaching you feedback and control doesn't take a tiny bit of time to show you how you can actually take, you know, this is an integrator block, right? And if you don't do, you know, Brock diagrams and feedback and control where you have a little 1 over S or something over S or a little integrator sign or something, you've got those all over the place, and that's simulating some differential equation that has to do with some physical doohickey, right? They used to build circuits and they'd watch the voltage go up and down, and that voltage was, you know, like the flow rate or whatever it was that mapped to from that voltage to the real variable. And they call that an analog computer. So anyway, there you have it. Have a good Sabbath, a good weekend, and you know, you got homework and you got labs. So come and see me if you're having difficulties getting stuff going.
What if we see if he's? Are you free right now?
I am free.
Why don't we see if he's willing to go up to the lab with us and?
Yeah, I will do that. Now, has anybody tried the door since last day? I need someone to help me solve the door problem. Because you guys need to be able to get in this weekend.
We need a new door.
What's that?
New door.
Yeah, right. Maybe. I don't know.
But
she had Austin's name in there, and he couldn't get in the door. So, okay. So what we'll do, Austin, if I find out other people can get in, and it's just you.
Well, Greg was trying to.
Greg was trying to, too. But Greg didn't have access to that door.
He got access. So we went down and checked, and then.
He had access. Ah. But I think when I talked to Renee, she said, oh, I thought he meant the digital lab.
I mean, you can even stand there and do your homework.
So you might not have had access.
Yeah.
Well, you tried the digital lab as well.
Yeah, I tried that one too.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So we got to figure that out somehow. I will send out a note to everybody and tell them what I found out by today in email, okay? And if one of you guys or two of you guys can help me, that would be good. And these guys need help up there right now, so as soon as I take pictures, I'll go up there and get them to try it, see if it works for them.
Let me stop by Renee and get my number, because I don't know what it is.
Okay, that would be excellent. I will get the pictures here.
Right now.
Okay, that would be good, too, if you got a moment.